Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m., and we have our guest, Cody Angerman, in the studio today. And he is the Wrangell Wolves basketball coach. So, if you would like to ask a question or just say hi anytime during this program, call us at 874-2345. Cody, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Cool.
It's an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Cody. So let's just do a recap of last weekend in Metlakatla.
Sure. Well, you know, the first night, I don't think we played our best, but we've kind of been getting better all season, you know, and as many of the other teams do too. We played Metlakatla, I think it was the first weekend of the season at home. So it's been quite a while since we've seen them. Though, obviously, these days you can watch any team at any time pretty much on any weekend. So I've been following them and, you know, I keep in close contact with their coach, DJ Scott. So we've become pretty good friends over the last few years. And yeah, so this weekend, the first night, wasn't the best we played. I mean, we just kind of, you know, there were some good things about it, but we turned the ball over a little bit too much, gave up too many easy ones. And, you know, when, as I told my kids, when you put all those things together and lack of defense, you're going to lose. And so the first night was, I think, more of a struggle. And the second night we kind of came out with more of a, I think, a solid game plan. And I've done this before. You know, the first year I coached in 2017, when we played Metlakatla, it was 2017, 2018, but we played Metlakatla. They were the best 2A team in the state. They won the state championship that year, and we were at home, and I believe they were the last games before regional tournament. Metlakatla hadn't lost a conference game in Southeast to a 2A team yet anyway. And we basically had them on the ropes, and I can't remember how much we were up, but we were up like 3, and there was only, you know, a limited amount of time left, 15 seconds maybe. And we had a free throw that went in, would have put us up 4, and we had a lane violation, so we were only up 3. And they came down and hit a 3-pointer, tied it. It ended up going in overtime, and we lost. So anyways, my game plan during that game was basically just slow the ball down as much as possible and only take really good shots, try to play as good a defense as we can, and obviously limit their possessions and make them take tough shots. Though it sounds easy, it's obviously more difficult on the court. So when we played them Saturday night, that was sort of the same game plan as I told the kids, because we just haven't had that much success against them. So I said, you know, we really just need to slow it down and take good shots, which you know, we did for about a quarter and a half. You know, we were right where we wanted to be, and then they kind of put some pressure on us, and you know, I think it was more bait to get us to push the ball a little bit quicker, which, you know, worked in their favor, because they definitely jumped up a little bit of lead before halftime, and before we knew it in the third quarter, they were up 20. So, happened quick.
Okay. Well, sorry to the boys on that. And who do you feel like is the best team in our region, 2A?
As I said, it's been a while since I've seen most of the teams, but there's, I mean, it's just such a tough conference, and I tell a lot of people, and I'm sure some of the other boys 2A coaches in the conference agree, that it's probably the toughest 2A conference in the state. And this year there's definitely, you know, 3 really good teams within Petersburg and Haynes and Metlakatla. You know, they're really good. They've competed. They've all won some tournaments already. I think Petersburg probably has the 1 seed right now. I haven't seen. And then maybe Met, or it might be vice versa, Haynes, Met, but they're both 2 and 3. You know, but anything can happen. And, you know, all of that is just for seeding at the regional tournament. And, and whatever happens there kind of decides what we do for state. So as long as you get first or second at regions, you get a chance to get up there. And so, you know, my philosophy every single year that I've coached is as long as we're the best possible team we can be by the time tournament time comes, then we'll always have a chance, you know, and win, lose, or draw, as long as we work our hardest to do that and get better all year long, I'm totally content with that.
Right on, Cody. Thank you for that. And, you know, before we get into more basketball, so I was talking to Nick Hansen when he came here last week.
Yeah.
And he was seeing some of the posters, and one that I remember that he mentioned was, you know, you need to call your mom because you left your game at home.
Oh, yeah.
Like these, like there is, which is totally normal. And like I thought that was funny. I remember seeing that poster in the gym, yeah. But he was talking about how, you know, in his where he's from. You know, oh, that's too much. That's a little too sensitive. And mm-hmm. just how these really small Native communities really go all out for the visiting teams.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Could you just tell us more about what it was like going to Metlakatla?
Yeah. I mean, actually, I was just talking about it earlier with Caleb down at the Sentinel, was that, you know, obviously we go on these trips and we get to play basketball and, you know, it's super competitive the day of games, and you know, I'm totally into that. But the biggest thing that we take away from it, in all honesty, is just the whole experience and the cultural experience. And you know, when you go to a place like Metlakatla, you know, you can just kind of feel it, that it's just different, you know, the way you're treated, the hospitality. You know, and who knows, maybe they just say this, but they say they love Wrangell the best. And when I was there this last week and just talking to some of the citizens there, you know, we talked about, Coach Stokes and his time there and, you know, and even some of the older players that played when Stokes first started coaching here, they talk about when they went to Metlakatla and it was kind of a hostile environment. Yeah. And, you know, maybe this is just more legend now, but, you know, I heard of times when they would leave the court, like immediately after a game that they had won, and go lock the locker room door behind them, you know? And I don't know if that's just legend, but I mean, it almost sounds like it, but it wouldn't surprise me. I do know that when, I played in high school in the late 90s to 2000, that it had definitely turned by that point, if that was the case previously. And that when we would go there, we actually got, you know, people invited us over to their homes for dinner. And I remember one time going to a home over there where they invite us to dinner and them telling us, you know, I just want you to know that this is all because of, you know, your coach and the way that he, you know, presents you as a team and has you work so hard. And we just respect that. And so for myself anyway, when I go to these communities, I always reflect on things like that and think about how those things were instilled by me. I think a lot of, you know, my coaching style, you know, because I respect Coach Stokes so much, is probably sort of similar just because that's who I learned a lot from, you know, other than my brothers and my father. That's where I learned basketball. And so when I go to these communities, you know, other than the fact that he instilled all these things, you know, we just try to represent ourselves the best we can. But yeah, I mean, Metlakatla is just a totally different, it's a different place. They're obviously a reservation. I think we're on the same time zone now, but I mean, you go everywhere and, you know, just the way that people treat us is just amazing. And, you know, checking out certain sites and, you know, we do some exploring when we're there. And it's just, yeah, it's just one of those things almost you just have to go there to experience it. But it's awesome every time we go. We look forward to it every time. So,
right on, Cody. Thank you so much. The time is 1:10. We have Coach Cody Angerman in the studio and we will go to a short break. And please, if you have any questions or comments, give us a call. That number is 874-2345. All right, we are back. The time is 1:11. I'm with Coach Cody Angerman. And I do want to say that we did invite Lori Brown to come into the studio as well. But I guess she was busy, so she didn't take us up on that. But we do have Cody here, so he's representing the boys. So, Cody, go ahead and give me a sense. You know, so this is your third year coaching. Mm-hmm. And how is the roster looking like this year as far as upperclassmen makeup and anything else you want to tell me about?
We have quite a few seniors. You know, some of them, you know, we have a couple that start and some of them that come off the bench. But we overall have actually a pretty young team. We have a group of freshmen that came in this year that, you know, is pretty promising. And so we have a lot of young guys and we're just trying to take the time to develop them. You know, I feel like we have a good thing going here in Wrangell right now with our boys program anyway. Now with our younger AAU program happening, you know, it's just a lot better overall when you send these kids up to high school and have more fundamentals and just an idea of the game and get more court time. It's just, those things are just super important, especially just because now when we travel or even home sometimes just because of the way we travel and the fact that teams can't bring as many kids or they just don't have as many kids, we don't get to play JV games every weekend. And so when we don't get to play those, it obviously has an effect. And you know, it's not, I don't think it's fair to some of these kids. It's just the way that it is, unfortunately. But we're, you know, doing the best we can to get them as much court time as possible and just working with them every day in practice to develop them.
Yeah. And give me a sense of why you're not having as many JV games.
I think, you know, probably the biggest thing is obviously the travel situation. We all know that this, you know, at least here in Southeast, that the ferry system is what we depend on for, you know, especially athletics, not only athletics, but, you know, everybody for traveling that, you know, and not everybody can fly everywhere. Not every community even has, you know, the opportunity to be able to fly anywhere. So some of these communities I've seen that are just suffering as far as even getting food supplies in. And so I think that that's probably a big part of it is just the fact that if we're flying everywhere, it's a lot more expensive and you just can't bring as many kids with you. And then you're not going to play, you know, your starters, you don't really want them playing JV games too. Mm-hmm. You get a certain amount of quarters that you can play per day. So you can only play up to 6 quarters a day. So, you know, that obviously, if you're traveling with a limited roster, takes away from that because you want at least your starters to be able to play all 4 quarters of the varsity game. So that's a big part of it. I think some of it is just, you know, some of these schools may not have the interest for kids, class size, you know, definitely the amount of attendance in these schools now is a lot smaller than it once was. And so I think those are some of the factors and just, you know, obviously travel being the biggest one, but definitely maybe kids not being interested, unfortunately.
Sure. So, yeah. Yeah, we know that ferry service is definitely impacting communities and sports travel is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you all experienced that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when we went to, yeah, so just getting into that, if you don't mind. So when we went to Haines, the plan was, and so first, I'll start over here. So first, we were thinking we might have to forfeit these games to Haines. And this was a trip we were taking with the girls too this year just to, I think it just made the whole traveling schedule easier if we did it that way. And so the plan was to forfeit those games. And as we got closer, the school found something out and our athletic director got involved and figured out how we could get there. So they flew us, we were going to fly with a limited roster up to Haines. So we flew to Juneau on Alaska Airlines, stayed the night, and then ferried the next day. I actually think we might have ferried the same day we got in. We didn't stay the night. But anyway, so we didn't ferry. They chartered an Allen Marine boat from Juneau to Haines. And so we got into Haines, and then we played Friday, Saturday. And there was a ferry, the Matanuska, which was supposed to leave basically right after our last game on Saturday night. And as we got into Haines, actually off the boat, we heard that there was an engine down and that it was going to be 9 hours late and that they would keep us updated. And then the next thing we heard was that it was canceled altogether and ferries were canceled. And so at this point, obviously, we were, scrapping to figure out what we could do to get us out of there. And this was before we even played our game. So, it had snowed about 6 feet when we were there. The snow was up to the stop signs. I heard of people stuck in their homes. One of our kids actually made state news. He was outside the high school and Ryan Rooney decided to do a dive straight into the snow pile there. And so that clip made it onto state news, which was pretty fun. I mean, when that stuff happens and you're stuck in a school with that much snow, you got to figure out ways to have fun. So the kids kind of got out and did a few things. But what ended up happening was that the state, the DOT, and a state senator was declared a state emergency. Because not only us, but there was the Skagway boys and drama debate that were stuck in Juneau, the Haines drama debate and the Skagway boys basketball team that were trying to get home also. And so they ended up sending an Allen Marine charter boat up to pick us up, drop the Skagway boys off, and then we would go to Juneau, which is what ended up happening. Unfortunately, and I don't know when the Skagway team ended up getting home, but the mayor had actually called them off not to get on there because there was supposed to be high winds. And so when we got on there and the Skagway boys weren't on there, we were kind of curious. And anyways, that's what ended up happening. The boat actually did end up going into Skagway anyway, and we made it back to Juneau and flew out the next day. So I think what was supposed to be about a 3 or 4 day trip ended up being six days. So it was interesting.
Yeah, that's wild. Have you ran into those kinds of delays while you're traveling?
I don't think I've ever experienced what we experienced on that trip. I mean, I know with the time that we were stuck there, we had three practices within a 2 day time frame, just trying to pass the time. And I've been on trips where, a plane has had some mechanical or something like that, but I've never been stuck, somewhere wondering, are we ever going to get out of here? And, kind of my joke when I was up there, I told the kids that, we're going to start looking for some real estate and get them enrolled in school here pretty soon. So, that was kind of where we were at and just trying to figure it out. And it was definitely interesting. And when you have other people's children that you're looking over, it even makes it more interesting because, you want to make sure that they're communicating with their families and letting them know, like, hey, we're okay, but we're just trying to figure out how to get back. And, these days it seems pretty easy, but you'd be surprised of, how easy it is for kids to forget that stuff, that their parents want to know where they're at.
Yeah, I believe it. I'm not that surprised.
No, not at all.
But, thank you for that, Cody.
Of course.
And go ahead and tell me a little bit more about, what it's been like coaching your boys. So this is your third year. I think every year you're learning more about basketball, but you're also learning more about how do I interact with a large group of high schoolers.
Right.
What's something you've learned this season that you're going to take with you?
I don't know if there's anything like really in particular. kind of just going back. I mean, when I first started coaching, I was just so concerned and I think caught up with wins and losses and mm-hmm. you know, our record, you know, and as kind of the last couple of years have gone by, I've realized that, you know, if you know what your record is, you know, 12 games into the season, then you're kind of almost in it for the wrong reasons. And not that it's bad to know, but, you know, there's just more important things that are involved, you know, things that are, you know, correlated with our program that we want kids to learn other than, you know, dribbling and shooting a basketball. You know, we always try to teach these kids, you know, life lessons, or if there is a lesson to be learned about life. And, you know, these kids are young adults, essentially, and, you know, some of them are going to be off on their own within the next year. And, you know, we just want them to know that they're supported, not only by us and their family, but by the community. You know, we do whatever we can to help these kids. You know, I'll write scholarship letters for them if they need it. You know, and we have a lot kind of, you know, you grow an affinity, obviously, to some of these kids, you know, and we have a relationship with all of them. And obviously we love them and we'll do anything for these kids. You know, it's like when I'm gone, I miss my own family, obviously. But, you know, I have the opportunity to be around these kids so much that obviously, I mean, you'd be almost heartless if you didn't care for them almost like a family. So
yeah,
that's probably the best part about it.
Yeah. And so you mentioned, you know, always showing support to them. And that doesn't mean being soft on them, but always showing them support, letting them know that their community supports them. Yeah. And for those kids that are going to be going off, I mean, what do you tell them about what to expect or just how to go about that?
I mean, I just tell kids that, you know, whatever their plan is, I'm going to support them. I just, you know, for the most part, want them to have a plan. You know, I'm not one of those people that's going to preach one way or another, because I've known successful people on all sides of things, no matter what direction they went. But, you know, one of the biggest things is just making sure that whatever you do, you're putting your heart and soul in it. And that, you know, if you want to do something and that's really what you want to do, that you try 110%, just, you know. And that's why we try to, you know, say that what you learn on the court is somehow related to what you're going to do in real life. And I actually think that's true. I mean, punctuality is a big thing with us. Mm-hmm. And so we just try to, you know, other than encouraging these kids, just try to tell them that, you know, the real world's a lot different than living at home with your parents, you know. And I think, you know, even for us adults, we all know that, you know, when we moved off, you think you know it all, you know, but you get humbled pretty quick when you're living a week on Top Ramen for every meal, you know, or things like that. But, you know, I just try to tell these kids, like, hey, if you can get out for a year at least, you know, but don't come home just because you're homesick, you know. You know, get out and try to do what you can, focus on your schooling, you know, and surviving on your own is a whole different story and a whole different ball game. But it's fun. And, you know, as the years go by here coaching, you know, and I haven't been doing it for a long time, but it's like each year just gets harder for me to let go of some of these kids. You know, it really does. It's like, you know, you have a year, the first year I had a year with these kids, and some of them I knew growing as they grew up and watched them grow up. Some of them I didn't know, but as I said, you just get super close with them. And now I have kids that I've been with since their sophomore year, obviously, and about to graduate. And next year I'll have kids that I had since they were freshmen, so all 4 years. And, you know, at the end of the day, and it's not about me, but I just want to, you know, have some sort of, you know, positive impact on them. And sometimes you question it, because I know this year I've been super hard on them, and, you know, we're trying to get the best out of you, and we're asking a lot of these kids for sure. And you know, when you can see kids digging deeper inside themselves than they ever have to push themselves harder than they ever have, you know, it's just a great thing to witness, because you know that you can always dig deeper and you can always get something more. And if you feel at the end of a practice or at the end of the day at work or whatever it is that you have something left, then obviously you didn't give it all. And so to see these kids work so hard and me be so hard on them, and to them to still be respectful to me is, kind of the end goal in a way, because there's a fine line you have to draw between being these kids' friends and being their coach and being a mentor and being sort of a parent figure. And, I would say that I'm friends with these kids too, but I still want them to know that I might be your friend, but I'm still going to be hard on you today, you know? And if I'm not hard on you, I tell these kids, and a lot of coaches say this too, is that, if I'm yelling at you or if I'm telling you to do something all the time or you think I'm being hard on you, it's because I see something in you. The day that I stop telling you something, or if I'm quiet and just stop telling you something for a week, is probably that I've kind of given up. So, and there's not a kid that I would ever give up on. But it's just, one of those things that you have to realize, because people are going to be hard on you your whole life, whether it's your bosses or just somebody you work with, and you're going to have to learn to get through it. So,
yeah, right on, Cody.
Tough lessons.
Yeah. Thank you for teaching that to our kids. I'm sure parents appreciate it, but we all appreciate it. These are all of our soon to be peers.
That's right.
Okay. So, regarding basketball, we're going to be playing Petersburg this weekend here. Mm-hmm. Specific goals that you've got for these games coming up, or anything you're going to target?
I think so. And again, the fact that you can go and watch anybody play, there's really no secrets. And, I think they know what we're going to do defensively a little bit anyway. We might try some new things, but that all depends. I think one of the things that's great about playing Petersburg, other than the fact that they're very disciplined and have a good coach in Rick Brock, is that they play a man defense. A lot of the schools we play, and even us, we don't really man very much. So certain offenses that you want to run, you don't get a run very often, even though you've worked on them throughout the year. So I think one of the things that I'm kind of looking forward to see is just how many of the plays that you've drawn up that will actually work, because you've gone through them so many times. And, the fact is that I feel like when you're playing against a zone, there's set plays that we still run against a zone, but a lot of it is just like, we got to break it down. We got to get the zone moving. We got to get the ball to the middle. Those are just some of the things, and take open looks, but really get it to the middle and then drop it down low. So there's kind of just almost a general way to break down a zone. And when you're playing man, and maybe it's just me and I'm in my inexperience talking, but against a man, it just feels like I have such much more of a repertoire. And, some of these plays and offenses that you run, you can see if it actually has come to fruition in a sense. At the beginning of the season, we were able to run some of it, and it seems like it's been forever since we've actually had the opportunity to do it. So it'll be nice to kind of see that and because we saw them early in the season also, and just kind of see how we're going to match up with them now that it's been, a couple months. So.
And just tell me a little bit more in general about, what are your guys good at? What are they needing help on?
Sure. I think really there's things we've definitely gotten just a lot better about that still need work. One of the biggest things that I see is just offensively, moving the ball and swinging it. We take entirely too long swinging the ball. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's just too much dribbling or, one, two people touching the ball. And then within the last month, we've really, it's gotten to the point to where just getting other people involved, and some of that comes with trust too. We've had a kind of an up and down year. we've had some injuries and injuries to some key players that have kind of slowed us down a little bit. And we'll see if, you know, we're going to get some of these people back. And it just kind of takes time, you know, because, you know, I want these kids, if they're not healthy, to make sure that, you know, this is more important to be healthy than it is to step on the basketball court and injure yourself for long term. And so, you know, we just want, you know, to come out and make sure that if we are going to step on the court, that we're all healthy, we're all 100% able to do our job too. Because with those injuries, you miss a lot of practice, you know, just the camaraderie with the team. And so I think that's kind of come a long ways, just teamwork and moving the ball. Defensively, we've done some different things over the last month. You know, we've been trying some different traps and some different presses. The one thing we haven't done really, and we just haven't been in the situation to do it, is we haven't been able to play too much man-to-man defense.
Yeah, give me a sense of what does that look like.
Okay. I mean, so just to break it down, man-to-man defense just means like when you step on a court, obviously you have 5-on-5, and you know, you're gonna play defense on a particular player. When you're playing a zone defense, you're more or less guarding a particular area. And so you're set in that spot. And, you know, just kind of it's a lot of it's determined by matchup, you know, the team you're playing and how you match up with them. And so since I've started coach, and really I think when I first started, I might have played man defense for the first couple games, but quickly went into this 2-3 zone that a lot, I mean, everybody knows that we do it. You know, and that doesn't determine if we're going to play a zone defense or not. You know, and I've heard some criticism that I heard not that long ago, and just to kind of give you an analogy here, is that I heard criticism that, oh, they knew that you were going to do that. They knew that you were going to do that 2-3 zone. And, you know, they knew it the whole time before they came here. They were talking about it. And, you know, my whole thing was that, well, just because you know the ending of a movie doesn't make it a bad movie. You know, what makes it a bad movie is bad actors and a bad storyline, right? So if that's the case, then we're just bad actors if we lose, you know? You know, I think the fact that we've done this 2-3 for so long, and, you know, most of my players know it too, it's just so easy to get into, and there's so much more to it. And when you're actually playing a zone defense right, it should be a lot harder than playing man defense if you're doing it and hustling and doing it right. But the one thing that we've really tried to do over the last month or so is to, you know, switch it up almost every time down the court. And so whether it's a made basket or a missed basket, we might be in a different defense. So that's, you know, not that it mixes people up on the offensive side of things, but in a sense, I think it changes things so that they'll have to think about it, you know. And I think that's one of the things that we try to get, because you can't do anything from, you know, there's only so much I can do as a coach. And that's one of the frustrating things, is you can't touch a basketball, you know, you have to explain it. So that's probably the hardest thing about it.
Yeah, you have to explain it without touching it. Yeah, you right. Made that point before. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, probably a million times I've talked about this stuff. You know, and there's just a lot of things that I've learned over the last couple of years. And I mean, I know that I always say one of the most important lessons I learned was within the first month of coaching. You know, I was struggling to get something out of one of my players, and a person that's really always been available to me anyway and always supported me is Mount Edgecombe's coach Archie Young, who's from Wrangell, and mm-hmm. He's just always been good to me. And so I think after that first month, I had texted him and just said, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm trying to figure out what I can do with this kid. And he told me that, you know, he just said, you're not going to make somebody something they're not, you know, so don't force a kid to play a certain spot or do something that's just not who they are. And that was one of the best lessons I've learned, because there's been, you know, multiple players after that that kind of came to the same conclusion, was that, like, well, I'm not going to make this person do that because that's just not what they're going to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to make somebody a post player that can't post up. So
yeah, thank you, Archie.
Yeah, thanks, Arch.
Okay, cool. Then Cody, before we head out, mm-hmm. again, we've got Petersburg this weekend, boys and girls, and then, you know, what can we expect after homecoming weekend?
We still have to play Haynes at home. So I believe, and again, we were talking before we were on the air about how I get to a certain part in the season and I don't know what the schedule is, and I should. But I believe we have Haynes the following week after Petersburg. So we're going to play them on like a Monday or Tuesday. And again, Petersburg and Haynes, two of the best teams, probably 2A in the state. And so we have our hands full here. But the good thing is that we're at home until regions. And that is, you know, not only satisfying to me, but most satisfying to my wife. So I can help watch the kids now.
Oh, really? Well, yep, that makes sense. And satisfying to all the folks that want to come out and see you guys.
I hope so. Yes, come support, because we need it. And there's something about home court advantage here in Wrangell, and those signs on the wall that we were talking about that just kind of brought the kids. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we could use it.
Cool. Yeah, our girl Laura, she did a story on how, you know, the boys and the girls aren't traveling together, and one of the guys said, yeah, we really miss our girls when we go away, because they're our squad. They're our only rooting squad.
Yeah, no, the last couple of years, it was almost like you have home court advantage everywhere, mm-hmm. Just because of the fact that we traveled with them, you know, and it's weird, especially without, you know, so many little JV games now.
Yeah.
You know, if you were traveling with the girls, you could really just do, you know, boys JV, girls varsity, boys varsity, or whatever, and you're not in the gym for so long. But, you know, especially like the Haynes trip, the fact that we were there so long, it obviously helps with the time. And, you know, we went out to dinner one night, and Jen Miller Yancey brought us all as a team to burgers one night at the Bamboo Room in Haynes. And, you know, they travel with us every year too, or the last couple of years anyway, with their son Trevor being on the team. Her and her husband Eric have traveled with us, and you know, Uncle Frankie Warfel. And so we've had the pleasure of going on these trips with them also, and them being involved. And you know, they've been just so great to have on these trips too, because they help keep the kids entertained and, you know, stuff like that, where they brought us to burgers. And last weekend when we were at Metlakatla, we took a cruise out to, you know, saw all these World War II monuments and, you know, the open airstrip in Metlakatla that you can go to. So, you know, we've been on some adventures. Yeah. And so those, again, it's like, after these trips, you think about the fact that, like, hey, you know, yeah, we lost a couple basketball games here, but, you know, there's some memories that happen too. So it's always great.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for encouraging our kids and just keeping them motivated.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, and again, this weekend, boys and girls homecoming against the rivals, the Petersburg Vikings. We've had Cody Angerman in the studio, and as always, we will be back next week with another guest. See you then.